The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Baba Batra. This Masechet, the longest Masechet in Shas, page-wise, has been dedicated by our good friend and pioneer student in the Daf Yomi Shi'ur, Adam Azrak Hashem Yishmeru V'chayehu, for the Hatzlacha of his dear children, that they should grow up to give him much nahat, they should have chokhmah, binah, vada'at, and be'ezrat Hashem, they should be zuche in the right time to the proper zivugim, b'parnasa, osher v'chavod, me'ata v'ad olam, to him and his wife and his entire family. Amen.
Amen.
Daf peh, ha'mocher et ha'sefinah. Today's daf is being studied, le'ilui nishmat Avraham ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Tenihenu began Aiden Amen. We begin today's daf on Pe'a Amud Lishon, starting top line, Nu Mishnah, Matnitin. Elokeach Perot Shovach Mechavero, Mafriach Berecha Rishona. The Mishnah says, a person bought the Perot, literally mean the fruit of a dovecote. Dovecote is the bird's nest, basically. It's where the doves live. He didn't buy the dovecote. He bought the perot. Well, the perot, obviously, are the doves. So the question of the Mishnah is, what's included when you buy the perot of a dovecote? So it says, Mafriach berecha rishona. The first berecha you have to shoo away, which means the first group of birds are not included. Everything after the first group is included. What is the basic understanding over here? Basically, you didn't buy the dovecote. So therefore, you can't destroy the dovecote. You have to keep the dovecote intact. I don't mean physically intact. I mean intact in the sense that the birds will remain there. You have a mother bird, and the mother bird has its offspring. So the Mishnah is saying at this point, you got to leave the mother bird and the first offspring that it has, which we'll see what does it mean, first offspring. You leave that because the mother needs company. The mother doesn't have company, so then the mother's going to fly away, and then the dovecote is finished. So when you sell somebody the perot of a dovecote, he's got to leave a certain amount of birds in the dovecote for it to continue to function. And you get everything after that. That's the basic skeleton of the case. Now look at Rashbam. Rashbam gives us some very interesting facts here about birds. Amocher alokeach perot shovach kegon she'amar lo b'nisan v'chol li perot shana zu ma she'yildu b'chol chodesh. Right, some of the offspring, whatever the birds are going to produce. Aval ha'imahot lo kana. Okay, he didn't buy the mother bird. V'derech ha'yonim la'asot shne veladot bechol chodesh. Zachar unkeba. Every month, the doves produce a male and a female. Chutz mechodesh adar. In adar, they don't give birth. She'en yoldin. V'hanehu veladot. And these kids, offspring, gamem lesof bet chodashim, after 2 months after they're born, osim veladot, they also produce every month, bechol chodesh. Bechol shne veladot kiruyin berecha. So every pair of two birds is called a berecha. So it says, mafriyah halokeyah berecha rishona, maniyah lefroach im haem, sheotam lo machar. The first group, that means the mother and its two kids, that you didn't sell. That stays by the seller. Shekin derech ha-mochrim perot shobach. It's the way of the sellers. La'akev berecha rishona liyot sevet le'imahot. In order that the offspring will keep the mother's company. Litkayem ha-shobach. Pen yivrechu ha-imahot. Vehu Shobcho lo machar. He didn't sell the actual shobach itself. So if you're not going to keep these intact, the shobach is going to be destroyed because they're not going to have any more offspring. Hilkach v'stama גם ברכה ראשונה של שנה זו עיקב עם השובח, which means he sold them this year's offspring. So Nisan, let's say, is the first month of the year. The birds that are produced in Nisan, they stay. Those two birds, let's say, with the mother. So there's three birds so far that are staying in the nest. The Zui Kiyum HaShubach. Now the Gemara is going to explain. The Gemara Meferes, and Hashem gives a little window into the Gemara. Degam perot rishonot dahi berecha rishona shiyer ha-mocher liyotsevet lahen im berecha rishona. The grandchildren also stay as well. So you have mother bird, the two offspring. Well, they reproduce because they're a boy, they're a male and a female, we said. They're zachar nekeva, so they're married. And then you have their children as well. So it's basically you're leaving three generations in the shovach. You have the mother bird, you have the two kids. They have their mate, but we're not talking about the mate. We're talking about the female.
The mate doesn't stay?
The mate stays. And then you have, but that's not the issue. The Gemara will talk about the mate. And then you have the kids also. So basically you have one mother, the mother has a mate, let's say. You have two kids over there, and then they have two kids. Okay? Pen tevrah. Now, if you're going to, we want to keep everybody happy over here. So, otherwise the tough quota is going to be demolished. So you have to keep a certain amount of birds there, so everybody's happy, right? So it's functional, exactly. So it says, Pen tevrah, da'ima lo mitztafta, ומכיוון שתברח ברכה ראשונה, תברח גם האם, ונמסה מפסיד שובחו. If the grandchildren, it's a terrestrial effect. The grandchildren leave, what's going to happen? The mother has no company. The generation before that. The mother has no company, she leaves. If she leaves, the generation before that also leaves, because she has no company. And therefore the shovach is, now you'll say, well, to the ends then. So what about the third generation? The great-great-grandchildren. You keep on going. Everybody's going to leave if they don't have the company. You know what? We'll analyze that. Okay, that's the first case. Next case in the Mishnah. Perot kaveret. Notel gimel nechilim umesares. Amazing. Perot kaveret. Kaveret is a beehive. So you sold the fruit of a beehive. How much bees do you get? So the Mishnah says, you get three swarms of bees. Yay. And then after that, if the owner wants to misares the rest of the bees, he can. So this is like to sterilize them. What does this mean? Ashi, Ashman. Perot kaveret, shel shana achat. I'm giving you 1 year's worth of the fruit of the kaveret. Devorim anoladim in a kaveret, notel gimel nechilim. Gimel chaburot anoladot lishona begimel zemanim metetimim o yud yamim. Ze achar ze. Sheken derech kaveret. He explains you the way of the kaveret. How does it work? Bitchilat yimot hakayitz yotze min hakaveret nechil shel devorim. In the beginning of the summer, a swarm comes out of the beehive. Yeladot sheyaldu ha'imahot. The mother bees, the queen bees, they give birth, and then they swarm out of the kaveret in the beginning of the summer. Yoshvim al anaf ha'ilan. And they just sit on the branch of a tree, these bees. Umevi kaveret hadash, so the owner now, it's too crowded, it gets too crowded in the original beehive. So they fly out, they need some room. So the owner comes and creates another beehive. So those bees now go into the new beehive and they reproduce again. And then the same thing, they fly out and they go on the branch and they produce another beehive. So you're getting, you know, more growth here. Usually it takes them 9 or 10 days to produce. The next swarm comes out of the beehive, and he brings another empty kaveret. This process is called tirtzil, the producing of the bees. Says in Greece, they do this 7 or 8 times, this process of just keep on producing more and more. But where Rashbam was, Ruban osin gimel pa'amim. And we mostly get, you know, three rounds of this. Vashilishi garua mekulam. Vaharon acharon garua. I guess after the third time, already the bees are inferior. If you're doing this over and over again, they're a smaller bee or weaker bee, whatever it is. Hilkach, So when you sell a guy perot kaveret, you give him the first three matings, and after that already no more. Umisaris. What do you mean misaris? Then the owner can sterilize the rest of the bees, so they won't have any more children anymore, and the buyer cannot have claims. I say, hey, I bought the perot. I gave you the first three swarms. That's it. After that, the owner can go back to, because when the bees are multiplying, they're not producing honey. Mm-hmm. Either multiply or produce honey. So at the end, I gave you three swarms. Now I want to go back to the honey business. So you can sterilize them. We'll see how do you sterilize bees. We'll see. And then you go for umesaris. That's Bram. Kilan mikan ba'ilach. יגרום להם המוכר שישתרסו מעיניהם ולא יעשו עוד פירות כדי שיהיו תירודים ועוסקים לעשות דבש וכל זמן שעושים דבש אין עושים ולדות והדבש של מוכר right. The honey belongs to the seller. He didn't sell them honey. He sold them bees. שכן דרך הכוונת לאחר שיצאו כל הנחילים עושים דבש. Okay, some kill the honey, some kill the ושורגין אותם, some kill the bees, ולוקן הדבש, ושמריקין אותם לכוונת לקנית, some empty the bees into another כוונת, and they take the honey out, different ways that they extract the honey from the beehive. Okay, so that's that. Third case in the Mishnah. Third case is halot דבש. You sold somebody the honeycombs, that's the wax inside the hive, that has the honey inside of it. So you sold them the combs themselves, מניח בית halot. You have to leave two combs in the beehive. You can't take all the combs. You have to leave two for the seller, and you got to take everything else. Rashbam, halot devash. Hakaveret lehar she'asta perot. After it made its bees. V'yatzu ha'nechidim. Then the swarms came out. Lokhin et ha'devash. V'asui halot halot. Right, the honeycomb is made like of 10 or 20 compartments, all next to each other. Mishava from wax, hudvash, meurav yachad, all mixed together. The mocher halot kaverto, lo mocher the kaveret. He doesn't want some the whole kaveret. Rotzeu lachnisa bimot gesherim latsniyal shana baal asut perot. He doesn't want. He wants to save the kaveret, the beehive, for next year. So he's bringing out during the season to continue to produce. So what does it mean? The bees need food for the winter. So therefore, when you sell the honeycombs, you get all the honeycombs except for two. That's for storage. So when he puts his honey, when he puts his beehive away for the winter to store for next season, the bees will have what to eat for the winter. For that, the two honeycombs stay. That's the minimum. Okay. Last case, zetim lakutz. If you sold somebody olive trees, in order for them to use the wood of the olive trees, maniach shtei grufiyot, you have to leave him at least two branches. You have to leave him the tree with at least two branches coming out of it, so it can regrow itself. I mean, it's not the tree itself; it's on them for wood. But I didn't say on my tree, so you got to leave him at least two grufiyot. Okay, that's she. Arashbam grufiyot anafim vechozer v'tzomayah. Okay, grufiyot is the wood of a olive tree. That's what we call it. Grufiyot. Rashbam proves it from Noah, a different midrash from Parashat Noah. Okay, that grufiyot is the twigs from the olive tree. Moran says, we go back to the story with the dovecotes. Guy sold the perot of a kaveret, shovach, not the dovecote itself, the perot, the birds of the dovecote. The production, very good. So we said, not everything is included. Mother bird and its offspring of the first month, that's called the berecha. Berecha rishona stays to the seller. So the Gemara asks, v'atanya berecha rishona ushniya. Well, we have a braita that says first and second generation, which means the mother, the children, and the grandchildren. So amar Rav Kahana la kasha, no question. What is the question? Go to the Gemara. Hai shiniya. that what it said in the Braita, Berecha Rishona Ushniya, A Berecha Rishona Ka'e, Sheyafriach Gam Berecha Rishona, Sheteled Ahi Berecha Rishona, Lesef, Lesof, actually Mechila. I explained you the question my way, but that's not the way Rashbam explains the question. Go look at the question in Rashbam. V'hatanya. הלוקח פירות שובח מפריח ברכה ראשונה ושנייה וכס על כדדק לשתי ברכות הללו מן האמהות כגון ברכה ראשונה של ניסן וברכה שנייה של אייר. Okay? Which means not grandchildren. The Gemara's question is, what do you mean? It says ברכה ראשונה ושנייה. Then you got to keep the birds that were born in ניסן and then the next round, birds that were born in אייר, you got it two sets. And Amishtah says only Berecha Rishon, only the Nisan birds you gotta keep, but it's much like you gotta keep the Nisan, same generation, Nisan and the Iyar birds. Okay, that's the question, same mother. Okay, but that's the answer. Now read the Rashbam. Lakasha, next one. Ha'lav ha'lima. Hai Shinia, that what it said, Shinia, a Berecha Rishona ka'e. Shiafriya gam Berecha Rishona, Shetele da'i Berecha Rishona, Lesov Bet Chodashim. The first group that's born from the first generation, you got to keep that one also. So it's basically like we answered already. Mother, child, grandchild. So the second generation will keep the mother company.
משיירין אותה כג'נטל שתקיים היא,
which means הלא, that means to the second generation. Second generation all has a mother. So the mother, you have a mother, the mother gave birth to a girl and a husband, leave the husband, talking about the girl now, the mother. So she's lonely now. The rule is going to be the children take care of the mother, but the children keep the mother company, but the mother doesn't do anything for the child, in that sense, to keep the child company. So therefore, the first mother is taken care of from this child, right? But she's alone. So it's okay, so leave her child as well. So la means for her. For the child, you have to leave a child for her. Okay?
Kedish tkemi, ba'ali ima.
Ima is berecha rishona. For the first mother, you leave the second generation. So ha la, so again, la, you have the mother bird. Let's talk about mother bird. Daughter, granddaughter. Okay? So hala, for the daughter, you have to keep a daughter. Hala, the hala ima. And for her mother, you have to keep her. So basically, you have three generations over here of birds that are kept in Tariq Dafkop. Incidentally, the Rashbam told us that from the beginning. That's why it wasn't a hadush for us when we read this girl. Because the Rashbam already tipped us off from the beginning. Berecha Rishona lav dafka means Berecha Rishona plus the Shiniya.
Again, that Tanya Berecha Rishona Ushniya Nisan Niyar. But of Kalala Kasha, Hala
Hal Ima. You have to leave a generation for La and a generation for Ima. First generation, second generation. Ma, Gemara says, Maishena Ima Dimitzavta Abarta the Azuga. Now we look at the company. Who's keeping who company over here? The mother, the first generation, mother. She has two companies over here. She has her, we'll call it her husband, right? Her zug. Husband keeps a company. And she also has the daughter. So she's being taken care of company-wise from two angles. So again, Maishana ima de mitzavta abarta, her daughter, the azuga, and her partner. The shafkinan la'i, they take care of her. The shafkinan la, they leave her.
A partner is the grandchild.
No, a partner is a husband. How did the mother have a child? The mother has a husband. So we never discussed the husband. So we said the partner takes care of her also. So she's got two companies. Continue. I name, so the daughter. Titzavta a'ima va'azuga deshafkinan la. So the Gemara's question is, Iname, the daughter of this bird, the daughter bird,
Titzavta ima, let her be taken care of also from two companies. She has her mother that's giving her company, the Azuga, and her husband, and her mate. Why are you telling me you have to leave the granddaughter to take care of her? She has two companies without her daughter. She has the company of her mate and the company of her mother. Oh, so the Gemara answers, Ima abarta mitzavta. Barta ima lo mitzavta. Fact when it comes to the birds. The mother enjoys the company of the daughter, but the daughter is not company, doesn't enjoy the company of the mother. So the mother is not considered the company of the daughter. So the mother has two. What's the two of the mother? Her mate and her daughter. Now she's comfortable, she's not leaving the dovecote. The daughter only has one company, her mate. But the mother does not consider the company to her. It's a different generation, it's not a company. Yeah. So what does she need over here? She needs her own daughter to keep her. So she has two at the end also. She has her daughter and her mate. The only question we're left with is the third generation. Well, who's keeping that company? So Kandidae, it has no problem because it has its mother and its grandmother. In that case, the two generations will keep the company. Even though we say the mothers don't keep the daughter's company, but it goes two generations up now. He has the mother and the grandmother. So it'll stay. It'll stay. It'll stay. That third generation's not going to go anywhere. Don't be worried about that generation. Look at the Rashbam. Look at Ima Abarta. All the way down. Go to Ima Abarta. You see that? Ima Abarta. Lebad Mitzavta. Which is the company of the mother is only the Gabeh that she enjoys to be with her daughter. Shirachameh ha'em al habat. Because the mother has mercy for her children, right? So the daughter is the company of the mother. Aval barta da'inu berecha rishona lo mitzavta ima lebad. Ve'aben zuga. Ela imken yesh labanim. But the child needs to have her own children that will keep her company, because she has rahmanut on them, coupled with her husband. Hilkach manichim gam the berecha rishona banim. Tehashta ika haborot tuba. You have ima uben zuga. You have the mother, first generation, mother and mate. Uberecha rishona. Right? And their children. Uberecha shel berecha rishona. Bat habat. Right? Granddaughter. The kevand ika gimel haborot. Now already you have three groups here. First generation, second or third generation. Afilu b'nei berecha rishona lo arki. Even the grandchildren are not going to run away anymore. Why? The mitzavtei imam ve'im imam. Because they'll seek company in their mother and their grandmother. Once you get three generations, everybody's comfortable. No one's going anywhere. Okay? Ve'en laniach lehem banim la'atzvotei b'hadayu. You don't have to leave the fourth generation for them. Ta'ashta'em mitzavtei abarta b'necha rishon b'necha rishon mitzavtei name abarta b'necha shenia le'em shilishona. La? Good. Okay, very nice. That's basically the point. Now, you have this in a, I don't know if you have it in your Gibariot, but they give you a whole diagram to chart this out. But we charted it out already. You want to look at the chart basically, it's not that confusing, just to figure out the chart skills over here. What they're trying to tell you is, you got to leave two generations, right? So you see the first generation, Av and Em? Okay? So the black represents the company of the mother. So the mother's company, you see the mother, Em? The mother's company is its mate, that's the Av, that's company number one. And the daughter, that's going to the next generation. Company number two, that's the black. So those two blacks represent the company of the mother. Alright? That's basically that. Now, Tzavta shel Abat. The second generation, she has two companies as well. Her company is her mate, and then her daughter, Batabat. Okay?
The grace.
That's very good. Okay, that's the grace. Okay, basically, that's the story of it. Comes again, and it continues. Perot kaveret. You sold the bees of the beehive. Bees of the beehive. Notel gimal nihilin umisaris. So you get what? Three swarms. And after you get the first three swarms, the owner can sterilize the bees.
So Gemara asks a simple question over here. Bema misarsan. How do you sterilize bees?
Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel behardal. With mustard. You feed them mustard and they become sterilized. Amri, yes, we had this before. Amri b'ma'arava m'shemed Rabbi Yosef ben Harina, lo hardal misarsan. It's not the actual mustard that does the sterilizing. Ela mitok shepien had, their mouth becomes sharp from the taste of the mustard. Chozrot v'ochlot et dubshanan. It causes them to eat excessive amounts of honey in order to get the bad taste of the hardal out of their mouth. And when they eat excessive honey, they don't have tashmish. So that's honey mustard. Says Rabbi Yochanan Amar. Rabbi Yochanan says like this. Rabbi Yochanan says, "Notel shelosha nehilin besirus." Oh, Rabbi Yochanan has a new interpretation over here. He says you take three swarms besirus. No, he says you don't sterilize any of the bees here. That's not the pshat. You don't sterilize the bees. That's not the pshat. You take three nehilin. Alternating. Like sirus means like sirugin. You take the first one, the third one, and the fifth one, and the buyer gets two, four, and six, because you don't want to give the seller, or the buyer, the three first ones, because those are the best ones. You want to divide it between the buyer and the seller. So you don't sterilize any of the bees, according to the Shita. You give them three nihilin, besirus. 1, 3, and 5. New pshat of the Mishnah. First pshat was what? 1, 2, 3. Then sterilize. This pshat, no. The sirus is going on how you give them the swarms. Next pshat. Itatan notil gimel nehilim ze nehilim beze achar ze mikan vailach notil achat umani achat. The bright has a third explanation. No, he gets three nehilim back to back. 1, 2, 3. From 4 on, then you start to make the alternating. If they continue making, he argues on the Mishnah. I mean, you only get three swarms. The Bright tells you get as many swarms as you want. Misares. Misares means you start alternating after swarm number three. Good? Look at the Rashbam now. Rashbam says, Lo hardal misarsan, ela gerama be'alma kegarim dehu, ken mefresh, had mar, ve'ochlim edub shanan, umedok sevi'atan. As a result, is that now they want to get the bad taste of the mustard out of their mouth. So they stop having peru urvu. So what are they doing? Again, it's either they're having children or they're making honey. So you want to stop them from peru urvu. So you keep them busy eating honey. When they're eating honey, they're making honey. Okay? Next one, Rabbi Yochanan. Now the question is, who do we hold like? Do you hold like the pshat of our Mishnah, that they only get the first three swarms, or do you hold like the Braita, that they get as many swarms as produced? It's just the first three are back to back, the strongest ones, and then after that they become alternate. So it says, "B'matnitata na b'hachi elcheta." Oh, the Braita ikar. So the Rashbam is supposed to say like the Braita. Vegam lashon haMishnah dekanu misares ken mashma shetehila notel gimel nehilim letzufi v'akach misares. The Mishnah is mashma like that also. Notel gimel. Nehidin umisares. It's mashma. Take the first three in order, 1, 2, 3, and then from then on start to alternate. Even though we learned the Mishnah differently, because the Mishnah misares means sterilize them. But no, you can learn the Mishnah like the Braita, therefore, like the Braita, you get as many nehidin that the beehive produces. Okay, that's that item. Next story. Halot devash. Maniach shte halot. Okay, so you bought the combs. So you got to leave the seller two combs, because he wants to take these combs, put them back in the storage for the winter, let the bees that are left over eat from the honey for the winter, and then start the process again the following summer. Okay, so when you buy the combs, you don't buy every comb in the beehive, only everything minus less two. Now the Gemara starts. Amar Rav Kana. Now, then we have a big question. Foods, mekabel tum'ah. Anything that's considered a food stuff is mekabel tum'ah. If it's not a food, it's not mekabel tum'at ochlim. This is the subject now. So the she'ela is, how do you look at the honey
in the comb. Is it food or is it not food? But what is it dependent on? Well, if it's destined for human consumption, it's considered food. But if it's considered food for the bees is not considered food for us. Therefore, it won't have the laws of tum'at ochlin, that it does become tameh. If it touches something, it itself will not become tameh. Okay, that's the sugya now regarding the honey and the tum'ah status of it. Gemara begins. Amar Rav Kahana, dvash bekaveret, the honey in the comb in the hive, eno yotze mide ma'achal le'olam. Oh, it's not food. Eno yotze mide ma'achal. Dashbam. Rashbam, where's the Rashbam? Dvash, see Dvash? It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 lines. Afilu bekavarto, elu yotze mide ma'achal, which means it never leaves. Never, right? Never leaves the status. I didn't say that. It never leaves the status of ochel. It's always food. What's Hadush? Even though there's a point that the honey is only being eaten by the bees, doesn't matter. Unless you beferush say it's for the bees, but stam, it's ochel immediately. Okay. Iname davka bechavarto avi ochel, but im zav bechavarto avi mashke. It's another way of learning. It's ochel as long as it stays in the kaveret. Once it starts to ooze out, it turns into a mashke. Ochlim and mashkim have different rules when it comes to tum'ah. But it also has subject to tum'at mashkim instead of tum'at ochlim. So either Rav Kahana is saying basically the same principle. Dvash is always subject to tum'at ochlim or mashkim when it's in the kaveret, when it comes out of the kaveret, even though there's a point where it's eating. It's being consumed by the bees only, doesn't matter. It's ochlim, unless you say this honey is only for the consumption of the bees. But mistam, it's considered ochel. Kamil Gemara says, Alma, kasabar, lo ba'e machshava. Right? You don't need a machshava to make it an ochel. It's ochel on its own. Some shitot are going to say, no, to turn it into an ochel, you have to be machshivit, I want this for human consumption. Rav Kahana said, not like that. Adaba, he says it's automatically considered ma'achal. Okay, scripture says metive. We're gonna have a quick big question now. Dvash vechaveret, the honey that's in the kaveret, en o lo ochel velo mashke. It's not considered not ochel. Rashbam says letame bekabetza velo mashke letame beribiit. This is referring to ochlim themselves. If it's the ochel as a kabetza, it has the ability to metameh other ochlim. And mashkim, if it's a revi'it, it has the ability to metameh other mashkim. But it itself can be metameh even with a kol shehu. But here it's saying it's lo mashkeh loch, not for itself and not for others. Oh, so what do you mean? You just told me dvash bekaveret Rav Kahana is ochel. But we have a befirush breita, dvash bekaveret lo ochel. Rav Kahana cannot argue in a breita. Amar Abaye lo tzericha ela leotan shte halot. You know what it's talking about? It's talking about the two halot. This braita that said the dvash in the kaveret is not ochel, it's referring to the two honeycombs that you left over for the storage for the winter that the bees are eating. Yeah. Oh, that's the first story. There, it's only for bee consumption. Remember we learned in our Mishnah? When you sell the honeycombs, you don't sell all the combs. You got to leave the seller two combs because he wants to take the beehive, put it in storage for the winter. So the bees that are left over in the honeycomb are going to eat the honey of that item. And then the next summer, they'll be around to produce more bees. That is the argument. The Braita is Mefirush talking about that, those two that are specifically designated for bee consumption. But all the other stuff, Erechanam is considered ochel. But those two, as we did it beferush. Rashbam, shtei halot, two lines at the bottom, shemanichim limot ha-geshamim, lepanasat ha-devorim. Okay, beautiful. Another answer,
Rava Amar Rabbi Eliezeri. That Braita. That Braita is Rabbi Eliezer. What does Rabbi Eliezer say? Kaved Deborim. This we learned already. This actually Mishnah we learned. Kaved Deborim is what? A beehive. Right? Rabbi Eliezer Omer Hareu Kekarka. As a din of karka, you could argue. I mean, it's attached to a tree, let's say, right? Mm-hmm. It's not movable. Din of karka. Nafkamina. Very good. Vechotvin alea pirozbol. Number one, karka. Oh, first of all, karka, so it's niknit with the ways karka is niknit. Kesef, shtar, and hazaka. That's how you sell a beehive. The regular ways you sell karka. Number two, you write a prozbol on it. Remember what we learned prozbol is? Prozbol. You have a malveh elove. Okay? The malveh is owed money. Shemitah comes, erases all loans. Hillel came along, man. Prozbol is what? I transfer all my loans to the Beit Din, so I'm not collecting it, Beit Din's collecting it. That's a legal loophole to get out of the issue. Oh, but the rabbis made a takana. You only write a prozbol to somebody that has karka. Because normally, that's considered a normal loan. I will only lend people money if the guy has karka. Why? So if he doesn't pay me back, I get the karka. So the rabbis only would be taking prozbol in normal loans. So if the guy that I lent money to doesn't have karka, there's no prozbol. So if he has a beehive, that's considered karka, and if I can write a prozbol against him. That's the hadus on that one. Ve'ena mekabel tum'ah bimkomah. Okay, very good. Not mekabel tum'ah, because karka is not mekabel tum'ah. As long as the honey and the bees, everything's inside, it's karka, not mekabel tum'ah. And somebody that draws honey out of the hive on Shabbat is Hayav, because it's considered Tolesh. It's like picking a fruit off a tree, because it's considered Karka. V'achamim omrim, hachamim argue, en kodvim alea perozbol, ve'ena kekarka, u'mekabelet tumah b'mkumah, v'arodeh m'mena b'shabbat patur. Amar bil azar may ta'amad rebili ezer, where does rebili ezer get this business that a piyav is considered Karka, and if a person on Shabbat is drawing the honey from it, it's considered the tolesh. Dichtiv vayidbol ota biyarot devash. Yarot devash. The pasuk over there talks about honey being like a forest. The tree, the honey trees. Yarot devash. Yarot devash. It's a honey tree. Vechi ma'anyan yar etzel devash. What's the comparison? What's the connection? Ela lomar lecha ma yarot tolesh v'lo b'shabbat chayav chatat. Av devash arodim v'lo b'shabbat chayav chatat. Just like a tree, you pluck it off the ground on Shabbat, Hayav, Yarot Devash, so too Devash also. So what do you see from the Bidi Ezer? The Bidi Ezer, he holds that what? Beehive is Karka. Oh, go back to that Braita. That Braita said, the honey in a beehive, no Ochel, it's not considered Ochel. Right, not Metameh, not nothing. Why? That's only by the Bidi Ezer. Because the Bidi Ezer is Karka. Karka is not Mekabel. Tuma. Oh, so that which Rav Kana came along and said the honey is ochel. Honey is ochel. We asked the question. Hey, we have a braita that says the honey that's in the hive is not considered ochel. It's not considered tamera. That's the Bili Ezer. We know the Bili Ezer has this famous shita that holds the beehive is karka. Whatever is in this karka, therefore the honey is considered attached to the ground, and therefore no tuma. Good. Comes the Gemara and says metive. We have a question. Dvash azav mechavarto. You have honey that's oozing out of the kaveret. Understand this? Eno lo ochel velo mashke. Oh. What are we going on of it? It's not ochel, not mashke. It's not considered food. Bishlama la abaye. Niha. According to Abaye, get Abaye Nava. Abaye and Rava, the ones that offered us the two answers to Rav Kana from the Braita. Abaye answered us, it's talking about the two combs that you left. When is the Braita, again, go back to the Braita. Braita said, it's not Ochel. Abaye, what's not Ochel? The two that you left for the consumption of the bees for the winter. So according to that Shita, I understand this Braita over here. When it oozes out, it's not considered lo ochel velo mashke. Why? Metive. דבש, אז זה מחברתו, אינו לא אוכל ולא משקה. בשמה לאביי ניחה. According to Abaye, it's good. Why? Look at the Rashbam. 1, 2, 3, 4 lines. Exactly. Because I'll say that that honey that oozed out is from the two. And that's only for bee consumption. Then I have no problem. No, okay, ולא משקה. However, according to Rava, your whole logic was what? Karka. And once it comes out of the beehive, it's not karka anymore. Therefore, it should be considered a food. So therefore, Ela l'Rava kasha. According to Rava, how are you going to answer? Good question? Understand the question? According to Abaye, your rule was what? Anything that comes from those two combs, that's for bees. Look, but even if it's oozing out, doesn't matter. So that was designated. Unless you made a mahshava on it. That when it comes out, I want it to be human. But until that point, lo ochel ve lo mashke. Beautiful. This statement makes much sense. But according to Rava, that says, nah, the whole reason why a beehive is because the mili aizah, that says what? That it's considered karka. That's all, that's what it's karka. But when it oozes out, it's not karka. It should be considered ochel lo mashke. Amar of Zvid, he going to Zav al gabe kelima ooz. The case is talking about where when it came out, it was oozing over a disgusting vessel, so it never became fit. In a chilameh, if it would ooze out nicely into a beautiful jar, of course it's ochel. This case was talking about where when it was coming out, immediately it fell on a dirty keli, so there was never a second, it became fit for human consumption. Yeah, it's coming. I know the floor. The worst.
What about when it's dropping?
No, no.
The status change.
No, no. In the air, you mean? No, kind of land. Anyway, kind of land. It's still attached.
Oh, maybe because it's
still attached. Once it lands on the ground, on the cotton, the ma'us. So Gemara says, "Rabahabri Yaakov Amar." Worse, kegon shezav al gabek kaskasin. On twigs and branches and things like that. He holds klima'us, you can take it out of the klima'us. It's still extractable. But on twigs and stuff like that, it's all mixed into the twig, twigs and stuff like that. Unedible. Metive. Gemara has another question. Dvash pechavarto. Back to the dvash pechavarto. Honey in its hive. Eno lo ochel velo mashke. Nothing. Not ochel and mashke. Heshev alav la'achila. But once you make the mahshava that you're going to eat it, mitamet umat ochlim. Heshev la'achila, mitamet umat ochlim. Then mashkin, if your kavanah was for drinking mashke, mitamet umat mashkin. Bishlama la'abaye niha. According to Abaye, it's very good. Mahshava can take it out of its status, because we're talking about the two combs. So the two combs itself is originally for the bees. Mahshava can take it out from bee consumption to human consumption. El ravakasha. If it's karka, it's karka. What do I care if I make a mahshaba for akila? It's still karka. Right? Mahshaba should not affect it as long as it's in the beehive. I got a coin to Ravad that understood like Nabili Ezid. What's the reason why the beehive is not become Bel Tum'a? It's karka. Now I'm mahshaba. I need mahshaba. I say mahshaba kola yom kulo for akila. So what? It's still karka. Mahshaba should not affect the status. אמר לך רבה, תריץ אחרי, חשב עליה לאכילה, אינו מטמא תומת, אינו מטמא תומת אוכלים. למשקין, אינו מטמא תומת משקין. Change the bright, אינו. Change it. Even if you thought, it doesn't make it תומת אוכלים. Even if you thought, it's not מטמא. Still קרקע. Change it from יהיה מטמא, אינו מטמא. That's easy way of answering. תעניה כבתי דרב קנה, back to רב קנה. What was Rav Kana's original statement? Rav Kana's statement was, Dvash in the beehive is Tameh Tum'at Ochlim. That was his rule. We have a brayta to support this. Dvash bechavarto mitameh tum'at ochlim shelo b'machshava. Even without making machshava, Rav Kana says it's automatic. We ask the question. What about the brayta that says no? We said the brayta is about the two that you're leaving over. But all the other besides the two that you leave over, even without a machshava, it's considered ochel. I'm right to support that.
But I continue from a quote from the Mishnah: Zetim lakutz meniach shtei gerufiyot. If you're selling somebody an olive tree, you have to leave him. The seller gets to keep the trunk plus two branches. Two gerufiyot. There's two branches. What if that it can grow back? Tarabanan, alokeh, ilan mechavero lakutz. If a person is buying a tree from his friend or to cut it, use the wood, megbia mina karkal tefah, you have to leave a tefah off from the ground, the kotzitz. Which means that's the minimum amount you got to leave tefah for it to grow back. I sold you the wood, I didn't sell you the tree. Take the wood, but I want the regeneration of the tree. So therefore you have to leave a tefah. Betulat ha-shikma, that's a sycamore tree that they never cut before. Gimel tefahim, you have to leave a shiur of three tefahim. Sadan ha-shikma, that's a sycamore tree that they already started to prune already. It's a bigger tree. Bet tefahim, then already you only have to leave two tefahim from the trunk in order to give it a chance to regenerate. Bekanim u begefanim, when it comes to reeds or vines, mena pekak ulemala, that's from the first knot and above. The vines have like knots. So you have to, the buyer is able to cut from the first knot and above, but from the first knot below, he has to leave to the seller. B'dekalim ba'arazim, when it comes to dekalim, palm trees, and arazim is cedar. Hofer u'mesheresh, you can take the whole tree. You can hofer, take even the roots out. You don't got to leave the seller anything. Why? Lifi she'en giz'an mahlif. Because it's not going to regenerate anyway. Once you cut a cedar tree, the cedar tree does not grow back. So therefore the buyer can cut the whole tree down, plus take the roots. Uptulat shikma gimel tefahim ba'inan. You ask a question. You know what I mean? You told me betulat shikma, you got to leave three tefahim. Does it need three tefahim to regenerate? Would mean here we have a contradiction in kotzitzin betulat shikma b'shiviyit. You're not allowed to prune the betulat shikma in the shemitah year. Why? Because when you prune a tree, it enhances the tree. You're not allowed to enhance the trees during the shemitah year. Yehuda omer kedarko asul. You don't have to prune it in the normal way. Ela magbia yud tefachim vekotzetz. You can cut the tree above 10 tefachim. When you cut a tree above 10 tefachim, that's not considered pruning. That's mazik the tree. Or gomem me'im ha'aris. Or you could cut the wood at the ground level. When you cut at that low level or you cut at that high level, it's not. Not only does it not enhance the tree, but it's mazik the tree. So in Shemitah, you're allowed to do things that are mazik the tree. That's not the issue. So the Gemara makes a view. Me'im ha'ares hu dekashe. Yeah, only when you cut the tree on the ground level, that is kashe for the tree. Ha'idach ma'alela. But anything above that, for example, even one tefah, above that, that's considered already an enhancement. So you see why you have to leave a three tefachim. You see even less than three tefachim from the tree, the chaura, as an enhancement. So why'd you tell me that when you sell a sadana shikma, the buyer has to leave three tefachim? The chaura should have to leave even less. Because you see when you cut even less, working above the ground, anything above the ground already is an enhancement for the tishma, so it can grow back even from less than three tefachim. So why did you say three tefachim? Amar Abaye gimel tefachim ma'alela me'im ha'ares vaday kashela. So Gemara makes rules over here. Abaye says gimel tefachim ma'alela. For sure, three tefachim definitely is beneficial when you leave three tefachim. Me'im ha'ares vaday kashela. And everybody agrees that what on the ground level vaday it's kasher when you cut that spot. Mikan va'ilach lo makshe kashela ve'lav eluye ma'alela, which means in between that, from the ground level to three tefachim, that already is in the question level. It's not vaday ma'ale to the tree, but it's not vaday mazik to the tree. Gabesh shvi'it avdinan midi de vaday kashela. When it comes to shivit, you're only allowed to do work that's vadai mazik. That's why we only let you work at the ground level. We're not going to let you work between ground level and three tefachim because it's possible that it could be enhancing. So it's a safek. When it comes to shivit, we only let you do the ground level. However, when it comes to a sale, which we're talking about, avdin and midi de vadai ma'alela, then we do things and we say that you only have to leave things that are vadai ma'alela, because the buyer, he's buying the tree. So I only have to leave you, not the safek areas, I only leave you the three tefachim. That we know for sure, three tefachim enhances the tree. Less than that, advantage goes to the buyer. Now when it comes to selling, the advantage goes to the seller. Look at the Rashbam. Rashbam's Lashon is Hilkach Gabesh, third wide line.
שאסור לזמר אילן כדי שיבריא, and שבעיתן allowed to prune a tree in order for it to become healthy. עבדינן מידי דוודאי קשיר. You're only allowed to do things that are definitely למזיק. תפשיט עלי בד, לא ישביע בזימור זה, משום לספק איסור דאורייטה לחומרה. That's right, שבעין is דאורייטה. Therefore, I'll only let you work the tree where I know ודאי it's going to be damaging. אבל גם במקר, דעת מוכר לשייל לעצמו כדי מחיית האילן ודאי. Exactly, the מוכר wants to keep part of the tree. He only has covenant to keep the part of the tree that vadai will be beneficial to him. The part that's sefeg between 1 and 3, that already the dad mocher gives it to the time. Reverse. He keeps 3, which means because he wants to protect himself. He wants to make sure that vadai is going to be, if he leaves less, sefeg. I want to leave myself a part of the tree that I know vadai will regenerate. If I'm going to leave myself 2 tefachim, I'm taking a risk. 1 tefachim, I'm taking a risk. So if the seller wants to protect himself, he's going to keep only 3 tefachim, minimum, because he wants to make sure that the tree is going to grow back. Okay, good. But the kalim about azim, hofer u'mashrish, we said, when it comes to palm trees and it comes to, you see the trees, you dig all the way to the ground and you uproot, you take all the roots out. Why? Lefi she'en gizan machlif. Because a cedar tree does not regrow. Once you cut the top of the tree, it's not growing back. So therefore, you might as well give the buyer the whole thing. So Yabran says, it is in his own halif. Oh, we mean a cedar tree doesn't regenerate. They had that Ishtar Paya Bar Lulaini, my dichtiv, Sadiq, Atamar Yifrah, Kiris Balabanon Yiske. It says that the Sadiq is compared to a Tamar, a date tree, and it's compared to also a cedar tree. Im nomar tamar lama nomar eres, but im nomar eres lama nomar tamar. What is the two comparisons to an eres and a tamar? Idlo neemar eres. If the tzaddik was only compared to an eres, velo neemar tamar hayiti omer ma eres en ose perot, just like an eres does not have fruit. There's no fruit on a cedar tree. Af tzaddik en ose perot. I might have thought that one. Maybe the tzaddik is like a cedar tree. There's no olam haba. He does all those mitzvot in this world. In perot, there's no reward in the next world. If you only compare it to a cedar tree, I would say, maybe tzaddik has no reward. Lekach ne'emar tamar. No, tamar is perot. So the tzaddik also has perot. Ve'im no'mar tamar, ve'lo ne'emar eres, eiti umer ma tamar engiz o machlif. I would say that just like the tamar does not regenerate itself, av tzaddik engiz o machlif, I would think also the tzaddik does not regenerate itself. What does that mean? Which means, imet, שלא יוליד בן כמותו אינם אם יפול לא יקום, which means I would say the tzaddikim that if they die they won't leave any descendants, or if they die, if they fall from their level, they won't come up. Kama shmala, no, they're like a cedar tree. Just like a cedar tree regenerates itself, the tzaddik, even if he falls, kisheva yipol tzaddik vekam. So what do you see over here? A cedar regenerates. We're saying the tamar does it. We just would have said tamar, but it's like a tamar that what? There's no, the children of the tzaddik are not like him. Or if he falls, he won't regenerate like a tamar. Kamashwan, it is. So make up your mind. He was saying it is, does regenerate itself. So Yomara says, the kach nemar it is. Oh, that's what it is. It does regenerate. Here we're talking about other types of arazim, which means there are 10 types of arazim. Some of them are regenerated, some of them don't. So therefore, you got to know which ones regenerate. Well, some of them do, some of them don't. So Gemara says, "Kedar Baba Ravuna, Damar Baba Ravuna, Amar Amre Berav, Yud Mine Arazim Him." There are 10 types of cedar trees. Shnei Emar, Eten Bamidbar Eres Shita Badas Ve'ez Shemen Asim Eres Arza Shita Turnita Hadas Asa. את שמן אפרסמה בראש ברתי תדהר שאגה ותאשור שורבינה. Those are all the different names of the cedar trees. Come on, wait. Hani שבעה have it. If you count them up, it's only 7. כי אתה רבדי מאמר, הוסיפו עליהן אלונין, אלמונין, אלמוגים. They added 3 more, those trees. אלונין, בוטני, אלמונין, בלוטי, אלמונין, כסיטה. This is just giving the names of the cedar trees themselves. איקד אמרי, ארונים, ארמונים, אלמוגים, ארוגים, ערה, ארמונים, דולבה, אלמוגים, כסיטה. Okay, there's all the different names of the cedar trees, but the point is, some of them regenerate, 7 of them don't regenerate, but the 3 regenerate, and then we're talking about the 3 that we said that regenerates, and therefore it's a different types.